The draw for the 2016 European Football Championships was made yesterday. It'll see Northern Ireland play at Windsor Park on a Sunday for the first time in their history. The match against Finland is scheduled to be played in March 2015. Here's what the IFA president, Jim Shaw, said earlier on Good Morning Ulster.
This is all based on the UEFA's new principles for the Euros. They decided that it would be a week of football, 9 weeks every 2 years, and they're calling it the week of football. Starts on a Thursday, goes through to the following Tuesday. There'll be a match every, at least one match every day for every area, two on Saturday, two on Sunday. And all of the 54 nations or countries in Europe signed up to this agreement, and as a result, the fixtures are done to meet the requirements of, I suppose, if you say TV, etc. And that's what's happened, in fact. They've run out the fixtures, and I wasn't there, but I see we've got a Sunday game in March of next year.
But there will be people saying, do TV schedules really have to dictate what happens at Windsor Park, particularly when there is this tradition of not playing on a Sunday? Have you tried to fight it at all?
No, we've made the point, but there's no way they're going to deviate. It's equal for all 54 countries across Europe. And that's the way the agreement that they have negotiated was set up.
Well, with football being played around the world on a Sunday, should Northern Ireland be any different? The Reverend David McAveen thinks so. Morning to you, David. Good morning. And the Belfast Telegraph's sports editor, Jim Gracie, with us this morning. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. David, why should we be any different here?
Well, I feel that Northern Ireland has been a very puritanical country for quite a number of years now. We have always recognised respect for the Sabbath day. And we believe that while there has been changes over these past 20 to 30 years, we still feel that there is something being preserved in Northern Ireland concerning the Sabbath that is profitable and beneficial to all the people in Northern Ireland. Many of us have been instructed from an early age to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, one of the Ten Commandments. But it's also interesting that the next commandment is to honour our father and mother. And I believe that there is a correlation between our respect for God's word and our respect for one another. And over these last number of years, we've seen a very sad change in men's attitudes, women's attitudes towards human life, human relationships, human responsibilities. And I believe we can trace...
It's only a football match, David.
It's only a
football match. That's all it is, a football match on a Sunday for those people who wish to play and those people who wish to watch.
But that's a good point, because really what you are doing by having it on a Sunday is actually discriminating against people who are involved in football, but who through religious convictions will not take part on a Sunday, and we commend them for that.
Jim?
Stephen, I'm old enough to remember the swings in Lurgan being chained up on a Sunday, so I mean, I can speak from that sort of background, but personally, I don't have a problem with the game being played on a Sunday or sport being played on a Sunday, but I do accept and I do respect that a sizeable number of people, both within football and outside football, will have difficulties with this and that it goes against their beliefs. But unfortunately for them, in this situation, Mammon has spoken and television has dictated. They pay the piper, they call the tune. So we flagged this up as far back. I looked it up September 13 last year when the system for the draw was announced, and we identified the fact that Northern Ireland could end up playing a match on a Sunday, and it has come to pass. And
yeah, but if there is a footballer, Jim, who has a religious conviction, he's in trouble now. He's got to either set his religion aside and his bond, his contract with God aside, or he's got to set his team aside. Is that fair?
It's not fair, no, and it's absolutely true, and there are... examples of this going back down the years. The most famous one people will recall, 1982, the World Cup finals in Spain. Johnny Jemison of Glentoran, who's still around and who's still giving testimonies on Sunday nights in churches up and down the country. Johnny was offered the opportunity by Billy Bingham to be a substitute against France in the World Cup quarter final, and Johnny's beliefs would not allow him to do that. And I think a lot of people remember that and respect that. And we also have had a situation more recently when the Ulster rugby team were asked to play on Easter Sunday a few years ago in the quarterfinals of the Heineken Cup against Munster, and quite a number of those players who have got quite devout beliefs themselves, a lot of those players were unhappy about that, but probably for contractual reasons they had to go ahead and play. But yeah, you may find that there will be difficulties. I can't think of anyone in the current Northern Ireland squad who might have a problem with it, but who knows who's going to be in the team this time next year.
Here's Michael this morning. Morning, Michael.
Idea.
Go ahead.
I've been playing the Premiership on Sunday for years. So if I have any convictions against a religion, How come they've wear out and play on a Sunday in the Premiership?
It's a fair point, actually. All of these players will really have been playing on a Sunday.
That's true. I mean, you know, you're talking here about people who are contracted on big money contracts. We have had Northern Ireland players down the years, both in the Irish League and across the water, who have had the religious beliefs and who have had to play on a Sunday, probably because it was their livelihood. It does put people in difficulties, but unfortunately, it's the way of the modern game. In fact, it's the way of modern sport. I have noticed, actually, you know, in my time in the Belfast Telegraph, the amount of sport now being played on a Sunday compared to even 10 years ago is phenomenal.
David, you're losing the argument, aren't you? Not this morning, but in general, if you think about it, online gambling, you can't control that anymore.
I think that there's been great changes, and we sadly have to accept that, Stephen. But I think at the end of the day, it's not just simply centred upon the players who will be taking part. It is spectators who, in many ways, pay to go to these sporting activities. Now, I must confess, I haven't been at a sporting activity for many years. But I know Christian people who do go, and I feel that in this sense, they're going to be totally discriminated against, because they who will stand in the stands and who will pay their money, they're the people, the most important people in many ways, and I feel that they are being deliberately isolated in this situation.
Will you be encouraging pickets or protests at this game?
Most certainly, yes indeed, because I feel it is an issue that we feel very passionate about. And whenever Glenn Turn played Bangor on a Sunday a number of years ago, we were there protesting against that. Now, I think it's important that people around the province...
There'll be a few of you standing there and many more people walking past you.
That is quite possible, and one will fully accept that. But it doesn't in any way minimise the fact that we do feel, and there is a section of people who still feel very strongly, that the preservation of the Sabbath day is a fundamental position that we have occupied in Northern Ireland for many years, and I believe we are forfeiting something that actually fragments home life, it fragments Sabbath schools, Sundays teaching. There's so many consequences of actually sport being played on a Sunday that have had a detrimental effect upon society in general.
Here's John in Tyrone. Morning, John.
Morning, Mr. Noel. I'm listening down to Reverend McElveen, and really, you know, Reverend McElveen says that it's discriminatory, you know, it's going to be discriminatory against Christians that have to go, you know, want to watch football, that's running. The other day, religion itself is discriminatory. What harm is it going to be to play football on a Sunday? Javier Hernandez plays for Manchester United. When he goes onto the pitch, he gets down on his knees and says a wee prayer before he kicks off. What harm can it do? This is to me, this is a bit fundamentalist, old, crazy religion again in Northern Ireland. You know, religion really has, you know, you look through the history of Northern Ireland and see what religion has done to it.
And as
people like the Reverend McElveen and the Free Presbyterian Church and churches like his, they're all, I don't know, they're trying to enforce their will upon the people. People have free choice, and no one religion or individual outfit can tell the people how to live. Look what happened up at that.
Well, let's let David reply to you.
Okay.
I think it's important to reply in the sense that, and I don't want to sound disrespectful to any person's religion, but we do find that there are certain standards within religious identity. For example, you will not be playing sport before 12 o'clock, because in many ways that is the end of the Roman Catholic Sabbath. You're not going to be playing football on a Saturday in Israel before 6 o'clock, because that's the Sabbath day in Israel. There are many issues that are respected right throughout the world, but we feel that because it is the Sabbath from midnight on Saturday to midnight on Sunday, that it should be respected just as every other religious view is respected. You would never play football in Israel on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. That would just be totally out. And I think the RSFA should have put a caveat into their negotiations with UEFA and say, look, yes, we're happy to play any of the fixtures, but please remember that Sunday in Belfast is a special day.
Gary's in Crossgar. Morning, Gary.
Yeah, Sunday is a special day everywhere, but it's always the same thing. It's the Protestant fundamentalism people that always say no. I mean, I'm fed up with it, tell you the truth. I mean, people should be allowed to do what they want to do. I mean,
Well, including those like David McElveen protesting and opposing your view.
Yeah, I know that.
That's part of freedom, isn't it?
up to a point. But if they had their will, I wouldn't have any choice in that area. Well, I would have to abide by what the fundamentalists want.
But for almost 60 years now, there hasn't been an international match on a Sunday.
And that makes it right.
So this is the first time in 60 years. So, I mean, people have lived without it up until now.
Yeah, but you've got to understand there's going to be change. There is change. And, I mean, how are you going to get all this togetherness going if one crowd says no to this, which they've always done, by the way? Ulster says no, everybody says no. Well, how are you going to get any sort of going forward at all if everybody keeps saying no? Look, I mean, football's no harm on a Sunday. If you want to Google it, you Google it, and if you don't want to Google it, you don't Google it. Now, I'm telling you, I'm really fed up with the way these fundamentalists try to run my life.
Well, let David talk to you.
Well, I certainly don't feel that I am running your life. I have no right to run your life, but I do feel as a Christian, I do have a responsibility to my beliefs and to the Word of God. And because the Word of God teaches me to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, that is exactly what I should do.
So would you rather, David,
you go ahead and do that?
Yes, but
don't force it on other people.
But equally, if I can just make the point, you will no doubt contend most earnestly to preserve the other commandments, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, and so on. And my argument is, why should
Well, that's
we...
the law of the land rather than religion.
No, I was going to say that. That's right. It's a completely different ballgame.
It's based on the Ten Commandments, and those commandments really are telling us, first and foremost, we have a relationship with God, and then we have a relationship with man.
So would you rather David Northern Ireland was kicked out of this competition rather than playing a Sunday?
I would rather that they would engage now in immediate negotiation with the authorities and seek to try and change the situation.
But they've said there's no wriggle room, so would you rather, if there's no wriggle room, are you telling them to refuse to play?
Personally, yes, I would. I have no
And withdraw from the competition?
I have no hesitation in saying that. I think the sacrifice of pulling out of something that desecrates the Sabbath day is worth doing.
See, there you are. Where do you go from there? Put your head back in the sand, sir.
No,
I'm not going to argue any more about it.
You made your
argument. I have made mine. I don't believe what you're saying. I think what you're saying is away in the dark ages.
No.
And as far as I'm concerned, the story's over. And if Northern Ireland, I mean, the team isn't that great anyway. I don't see what you'd only maybe get one Sunday out of the whole dang thing anyway.
Stay there, Gary, because I'm sure Norman will take you on. Go on, Norman.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, this is another nail in the coffin of Christianity in this country. I go to church on a Sunday, Stephen, and I could count the number of young people in our church on one hand.
Well, what does that say?
It says to me that we're becoming a heathen society where the parents...
Or else the church is losing touch,
church
or else the
anymore.
Church isn't connecting, or else people are walking away from how the church is behaving.
There's too many people letting the church tell them what to do.
They're not walking away from the church, Stephen. They're walking away from God and what the Bible teaches. And that's why we have the antisocial behaviour we have on our streets, young people on drink and drugs, because the parents couldn't care less where they go on a Sunday, where they go at night. We need to get them into the youth organisations.
We're not talking about young people, though, are we? We're talking about whether this football game should be played on a Sunday. The Reverend David McElveen has said he would like the Northern Ireland team to withdraw from the competition rather than play.
And so would I, Stephen. Sunday is the Sabbath day. It's the Lord's day. And always has been in this once Christian country. But now people are turning their back on the Lord.
Gary?
They're turning their back on God.
Gary?
So they are.
There's no point in trying to argue with people like that because they have a mindset. Now, I'm a Christian and I don't do anybody any harm.
Well, if you're a Christian and you approve of Sunday football, I think you need to read your Bible.
Look, I have read the Bible as much as you have, sir. And if you look at the Bible, you'll find out that people are supposed to have the free will. And you can try and tell
if you
me.
You look at the commandments, 6 days shall thy work,
you're,
and on the seventh day, it's
you
God's day of rest.
The Bible,
and
you and the rest of people like you do. You cherry-pick the Bible.
I don't cherry-pick the Bible.
For goodness sake, anybody with any sort of sense can see that.
No. You can have your Sabbath day on a Saturday like a Jewish community, but you must give one day to God. And in this country, Sunday is the Sabbath day that people should give to God. One day, that's all he's asking, one day a week from you. why can the football matches not be played on a Saturday or on a Friday or Wednesday, Thursday? There's 6 days of the week for them to play it on.
Right, loads of your calls coming in there. Stay there, Norman. Gary, stay there. 08459. Hold on, Gary. 08459-555-678. Loads of your calls coming in. It's 20 past nine if you're on your way to work. Reverend David McAveen, while you're with us this morning, we'll come back to more calls on this in a second or two. This Northern Ireland Life and Times survey, the results of which are out today. Interesting what it's saying about some of the attitudes in Northern Ireland. For example, David, the number of respondents who said gay relationships were always wrong has fallen from 76% in 1989 to 28% in 2012.
It doesn't.
What do you read into that?
It certainly doesn't make the relationship right.
What do you read into those statistics?
Well, I read that there is a degree of ambivalence coming into society on not only that issue, but on many other issues as well. But people should not, you know, misread the interpretation, as it were, of the findings, because I still believe there's a very strong element of people who, in a genuine, sincere and compassionate way, believe that gay relationships are wrong. Simply because it is against the word of God.
Well, not according to this survey.
But, I mean, that is a survey. We are speaking about the
scripture. It's the Northern Ireland Life and Times survey, one of the most respected surveys in Northern Ireland. So 28%, only 28% think that gay relationships are always wrong. Support for gay relationships in this 2012 survey was greatest among younger people, David.
But I trust you understand what I'm saying, Stephen, that you are emphasising a survey. I am emphasising the scriptures. Surveys will change. Maybe this time next year you could find it could be the reverse. But as far as the scriptures is concerned, they remain exactly the same. So it doesn't matter, and I don't want to be disrespectful to any survey, even in a reputable way, but I do believe that we've got to vindicate what the scriptures teach on the matter.
The same survey suggested a third of people in Northern Ireland disapprove of gay people adopting children and are opposed to lesbians having equal access to fertility treatment. We'll get your views today, 08459 555 678. You see, David, scripture and this survey and survey results, they are not unrelated, are they? Because you would have thought that any church would want to be mindful of what public opinion is, especially if it's trying to connect.
Well, I mean, if you were going to go down that road, then you would have to say of the crucifixion of Christ that it was public opinion that was against Christ. You know, so we can't really be swayed by public opinion. Sometimes we are isolated and we fully accept that. We are marginalised or maybe viewed as a minority. But it still doesn't minimise the fact that we have a faith, that we believe, scriptures that we hold to, and the Lord Jesus Christ that we seek to exalt. So, I mean, the scriptures do mean so much to us that we believe it is the inspired, the inerrant word of God.
Margaret's in Belfast. Morning, Margaret.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, I'm not a lover of football myself, but at the end of the day, see, we're all this religion. Then Reverend McElveen needs to go and get a life because everybody's entitled to do what they want to do on a Sunday. And Sunday...
Well, he's entitled to defend his faith, defend his beliefs, defend his God without you telling him to go and get a life,
Stephen,
Margaret.
Yes, Stephen, but at the end of the day, he's talking for everybody else.
Why don't you speak to him? Speak to him.
Hello, I'm Reverend McElveen.
Good morning.
I appreciate your faith and things like that, but at the end of the day, everybody's entitled to live. Even lesbians or gay fellas are entitled to do what they want. I mean, God's doors and God says everybody's entitled to do what they want, but you're making suggestions for everybody, and that's all wrong. Everybody's entitled to have a life and do what they want with their own life. Even you have an entitlement to do what you want. Nobody's saying you don't be doing this or don't be doing that. Don't become a minister, don't become a priest. But that's your entitlement. That's what you chose to do. And you have to make allowances for everybody else. In Northern Ireland, what they want to do, irrespective of whether you like it or not, everybody's entitled to do what they want to do, have their own opinion. And like that man said there a while ago, everybody's fraying away from the churches and from the chapels. What for? What for? Because there's too much of this praying, this, that and the other to God, whatever. Now, all right, the scriptures and
too much of praying to God.
The Bible and everything.
Well, there's nobody forcing you. Margaret, wise up.
Brought out before,
Margaret, wise up. There's no one forcing you to pray. So let other people who want to pray.
Well, that's it, Stephen. That's what I'm saying. Everybody's entitled to do what they want to do and have their own say. Reverend McElveen.
Let David speak to you. Hold on.
I think, Margaret, it is important to recognise that it's not for me to force you to do anything. My whole ministry is based on the ministry of persuading people. But it's not right what you say, that everybody has a right to do what they like.
Oh, but it is the right for me to have a say in that. It is the right for me to have a say.
Please let me
say. Because everybody's entitled to do what they want to do.
No, they're not. Because I can't.
Oh, yes, they are. You would try to turn around and say to people, do this and do that, and why don't you go to this and why don't you do that? That's all wrong. It's like somebody standing in the town and giving you these poster things. They're actually coming towards you, these Bible people, and they're giving you these. They're walking over towards you. People's just walking on ignoring. If people wanted to do that, they would do it full stop.
Well, there's an opportunity of accepting or rejecting, but Margaret, there are laws in this land that stop me from doing things that maybe in a natural sense I would want to do.
Like what?
Hold on, Margaret.
Give him a chance. David?
I've got to respect the laws of the land. In a 30-mile-per-hour speed limit, for example, which is a very simple illustration, I am really bound to maintain that speed limit. Maybe break it, of course, but there are parameters to give life a stable and a controlled way. We all are under subjection to certain laws and regulations, whether we like it or not. And therefore,
we respect those.
We respect human life, for example, because the Bible says that we're not to kill. We respect people's property because we are told we're not to steal. There's so many things that we receive from the Bible that are for the benefit of your life.
They're not doing anybody any harm.
I'm sorry, I missed your point, Margaret.
I'm saying you don't like the carry on about gay people and things like that. Gay people are entitled to have their own life and do what they want to do. They're not doing anybody any harm. But just you're against them. Why are you against gay people? Please. What have they ever done in you?
I'm not against gay people, and I make the point, and you're bringing this up as another subject. I respect.
Not another subject.
Margaret, you've got to give him a chance to respond.
I respect the right of every individual. I don't go around looking at people and saying that person's gay or that person's straight. What I point out is the activity that people promote themselves. I mean, I don't know who's gay or who's straight in our society. It's not my interest to know that. But all I'm pointing out from the scriptures is that homosexual activity, according to the Bible, is wrong, it is an abomination, and so on. I mean, that's well known in Northern Ireland. There are people who believe that, who preach that, and who seek to present that to the people. But let me be clear. I have never, never expressed any violent expression against anyone that I disagreed with. And I would not want to do that. My whole purpose in life is to win people to the scriptures, bring them to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. Here's Darren next. Morning, Darren.
Morning, Stephen. I just want to sort of pull it back to a football match. The likes of Roma, I mean, based in Rome in Italy, you couldn't really get any more religious than that. Play football Saturday and Sunday. I just don't see the problem. If they don't like it, stay in the church, pray, do whatever they want to do. But give the rest of us a break and all this. We were made a global laughing stock no more than a couple of months ago over this play up in Udinabbey that was banned because they didn't agree with it. In the name of good God. You ever hear the likes of this? It's ridiculous. I mean, so Norman there said himself about the likes of young people and the numbers in church dropping. There's a reason for it. And this is just exactly what it is. People are sick, sore and tired of it, and they're waking up to the fact that it's a lot of nonsense and they just don't want to have anything to do with it.
Have you noticed the DUP's silence on this, by the way? They opposed Sunday openings for years. Geoffrey Donaldson quoted in today's Belfast Telegraph opposing the Sunday game, not available this morning. So we're looking for the DUP's party position on this this morning. It'd be interesting to find out what their party position is.
We're going to know. It's going to be the same thing again.
Well, we don't know because we can't hear from them.
Well, they'll maybe not open their mouth, but I think deep down everybody knows. It's just the same story over and over again.
Well, I guess, Dan, you're getting your way. The game's going ahead. Reverend David McElveen, he's entitled to protest. He's going to hold a protest. That's it. The game will go ahead. What's the problem?
It's making a laughing stock out of the whole country. It's look, Northern Ireland can't do anything without the church being up in arms. Separation of church and state, that's the way it should be. They let them do their thing, let everybody else do their own.
Kieran, morning, Kieran.
Yes, yes. Is Reverend still there, is he?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes, you get paid for what you do, okay? So that means that you get paid on a Sunday for preaching your or doing your work, your God's work. So you get paid for that, plus you're killing two birds with one stone in one way. I have to work on a Sunday because that is how I learn a living. People come out, I'm a chef, so people come out for something to eat on a Sunday. Probably a lot of people that go to Mass come out to get something to eat after they go to Mass. So if they come out for something to eat and I'm entitled not to work, that means that they don't get fed. True?
Yes, that's very true.
Yeah, yeah. So explain that to me. Explain your point into that, yeah.
But it's not really the mark of our society that it used to be that you would never have had people going out on a Sunday for eating. It was always sanctified. It was
a special day.
Let him finish. Hold on.
It was a special day for many people. It was a family day. And I think we have to say in a broader sense that what has been happening has really been the fragmentation of family life within our society. And that, to me, is a major cause of concern. And we have many young people today who seem to feel life is without hope. We can have all these sporting activities, we can have all these other occasions, and it may create a certain degree of excitement. But at the end of the day, we're dealing with a hopeless society in many areas of young people and in other aspects
Kieran?
Of life. We've got to respond to that.
Yeah, but all the people that believe in the belief that you believe with through Sunday and you shouldn't be working and all, when they're out having something to eat on the Sunday, do you think that they're sitting there eating their food and thinking about us work and they're working, but yet they're talking about that? That's the thing that they're saying about that. You shouldn't be working Sunday. But when they're sitting eating their Sunday dinner in a restaurant on a Sunday, you know what I mean? It's contradicting it, really.
Okay, Kieran, thank you for your call. Reverend McElveen, we really appreciate you coming on this morning. Thank you so much
you.
For doing so. That's Reverend David McElveen.